So this morning, folks, I'd like to speak to you carrying on the theme from the children's talk about one of my favorite fishermen. And no, it is not Bob Azumi. Although Bob Azumi and I do go way back, apparently his show was on when my mother went into labor. So I come by this honestly, trust me. No, this morning I'd like to speak to you about Simon Peter, the first among equals amongst the 12 apostles, the first bishop of Rome, the first pope as Roman Catholics know him today. Simon Peter, the fisherman, the rock upon whom Christ promised to build his church. I think the thing I like the most about Saint Peter is that the Gospels depict him as anything but saintly. He is anything but a rock. If Peter is a rock, then maybe he's sandstone or mica or shale. He seems so brittle, fickle, and easily broken. In St. Matthew's great weaving of Jesus' tale, Peter is the one who questions Jesus in the journey of the cross on towards the cross. Peter is the one to whom Jesus has to say, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And in all four of the Gospels, and we know that there are very few points upon which all four of the Gospels agree, but in all four of the Gospels, Peter is the one who denies Jesus. Peter is the one who denies Jesus as he nears the completion of his journey to the cross. Not once, not twice, but three times. And the cock crowed. Peter is fallible. Peter is broken. Peter is a paradox. Peter is human. Peter is human, and it is on this human rock, this fragile, crumbly, mortal rock made of water and dust and clay, that the incarnate God of heaven and earth says to us, "On you, Peter, I will build my church." In Luke's weaving of the tale, we first meet Simon Peter in Capernaum, which is a city in Galilee. And at first, we're not told by Luke who this Simon is, or how Jesus knows him, or what he even does for a living. We're simply told that Jesus visits Simon's house in Capernaum, and that there Jesus cures Simon's mother-in-law. Whoever this Simon is, we get the sense right away from Luke's telling that Jesus cares deeply for him, that Jesus loves him. And Simon, in turn, is grateful to Jesus, in awe of Jesus, for the miracle and the power that Jesus has performed. And word of this miracle soon begins to spread, and before long, all those who were sick with various diseases and injuries are brought to Jesus at Simon's house. And Jesus lays hands on each of them. He lays hands on each of them the same way he laid hands on Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and he cures them. And then next in Luke's weaving of the tale comes the story that we hear today. The story we hear today where we see Jesus standing next to the lake of Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is standing on the Sea of Galilee at the Galilean seashore. He begins to be surrounded by people, probably the same people who brought their sick and injured to be cured by Jesus at Simon Peter's house. I don't know about you, but if there was someone who came and cured your friends and cured my friends and cured your family and my family, I sure as heck would want to go and hang out with them. And so the people crowd around Jesus. They crowd on him, or as Luke puts it, they press in on him near the seashore. And as they're pressing in on him, Jesus sees these two boats pulled up on shore. And he sees a small group of fishermen washing out their nets. They're done for the day. One of the boats belongs to Simon Peter. Jesus knows this, but we don't know how. But as we see this scene, we can imagine in our minds Jesus looking out over this crowd that's pressing in on him. And looking over at this small boat. And then gesturing over towards Peter, who's standing at the edge of the crowd, and as if to say, "May I? Can I use the boat, please?" And Peter nods his head emphatically, as if to say, "Yes, of course you can use my boat. You cured my mother-in-law. At least I can do is let you use my boat for an hour." And so Jesus and Simon and a few others push off in that small boat. And there from the water's edge, Jesus sits in the boat and he teaches the crowds. And they are amazed and in awe by his wisdom. And when Jesus finishes teaching and the crowd slowly begins to disperse, they think he's done for the day. Jesus then turns to Peter and says, "Put out into the deep water." "Put out into the deep water," Jesus says to the fishermen. "Put out into the middle of the lake so that we can catch some fish and make up for this last hour, make up for this time that you've lost from using your boat, and maybe your family can eat tonight and my family can eat tonight." And poor Peter doesn't know what to make of this. You see, like any good fisherman, Peter knows his home waters well. Peter knows the movements of the waves, the movements of the winds. He knows the movements of the sun and the stars and the moon. And Peter knows that today is not a good day to be fishing. Today is not a good day to be fishing in Peter's mind. Today is not one of those days like the spring here in Canada when the ice first comes off the lake. And you can put a line out into the water and they'll hit just about anything. Today is not one of those days on the Sea of Galilee. And so Peter tries to explain this to Jesus. He tries to impart some of his wisdom to Jesus. "Master," he says to him quite politely, "great teacher, great healer, great miracle worker. We've worked all night and we have caught nothing," Peter says. "This is not going to be a good use of our time. There are no trophy catches out in those waters today. Why don't we just go home? Why don't we just go home and have a few salted fish, enjoy what we caught last week, save our energy, and try this again in a few days?" And in that moment, Jesus looks at Peter. And the gospel says he says absolutely nothing. Jesus looks at Peter. And Peter sees the look in Jesus' eyes. He stops his rambling, and he stops his protestations. He stops passing on his fisherman's wisdom and he speaks to Jesus from his heart. He says to Jesus, "Yet if you say so, I will let down my nets. Yet if you say so, I will let down my nets. Never mind what I know about this lake. Never mind that I've been doing the same thing day in and day out since I was a boy, 25 or 30 years or so for now. Never mind that I already think I know what the outcome of this fishing trip is going to be. For you, O Lord, I will do this. For you, O Lord, I will take this chance. For you, I will take a leap of faith and I will risk it all. I'll risk shame and humiliation, another day without catching any fish, another day with my friends on the shore who know that I've been fishing this lake for 25, 30 years and who know it just as well as I do, laughing and pointing at me and saying, 'Ha ha, really? You're going out in this weather to fish? Fat chance. But for you, O Lord, I will do this.'" And as Luke tells it, they put over their nets, and they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, and they had to call for another boat. This is where Simon Peter, poor fickle and fallible and brittle Simon Peter, makes up for his shortcomings. Simon is self-aware. Simon knows he's flawed. He knows he's not perfect. In our heart of hearts, we all know that we're not perfect either. We're all fickle and fallible. Each of us is incredibly capable of getting absolutely right, everything right on one day, and then royally messing it up entirely the next. We're all capable of that. Peter knows that about himself. And in a moment of confession, he falls down on his knees in the boat before Jesus in the gospel this morning, and he says to Christ, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of all this love, of this miracle, of this abundance." And once again, Jesus looks at Peter. But this time he says something. "Do not be afraid," Jesus says to Peter. "I don't care about all that other stuff. I don't care that you don't always have all the answers. I don't care that you make mistakes. I care about that piece of you, that part of you that lets you say to me, yet if you say so, I will do this. I will let down my nets. I care about that bedrock of faith at the center of your heart that empowers you to say, for you, O Lord, I will do this. That's the part I care about. That passion, that grace, that peace of our living God. The rest is but ashes and dust. Do not be afraid, Jesus says to Peter. From now on, you will be catching people. And at that, they left everything and followed him. What would this world look like if we all embraced the permission that Jesus gives to Peter this day when he says, do not be afraid? What would this world look like if we embraced the invitation to, in a sense, get over ourselves? Get over the fact that we're broken. Get over the fact that we're fickle. Get over the fact that we're fallible. Let it be and just start fishing for people. I was reading an article earlier this week about local church growth and development. And in it, there was a survey which caught my eye. And it was a survey about people who don't go to church or who haven't gone to church who start going to church. I found the results absolutely fascinating. People who have not gone to church before, but who start going to church. And the survey said that 7% of people who started going to church started going because they heard good things about the pastor. 7%. That was the lowest of the responses. 20% said they started going because they heard good things about the church's programs. They saw some advertising and saw that the church had a good choir or a good Sunday school or a good hospitality ministry. 20%, fair enough. 25% said that they started going because they were looking for a new community. They were looking for friends. Isn't that human? But it's this next number that caught my attention most of all. 50% of those surveyed said that they started attending their church because they were invited to do so by a friend. 50% said that they began attending church for the first time because they were invited to do so by a friend. Let's just think about that for a minute. What if each of us took 5 minutes this week, or 10 minutes this week, or 15 minutes this week, and invited a friend to come to church with us? And I know we probably know their answers already, right? We know how they're going to answer. We're all good fishers. We know our home waters well. But what if the 10 or 15 of us who are here at 8 o'clock each Sunday morning, or the anywhere from 65 to 90 of us who are here at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, what if we took a leap of faith and we cast out our nets and invited a friend to come to church with us? What if only half of the people we asked said yes? What if only a quarter of the people we asked said yes? What if only one or two of the people we asked said yes? How much richer and more colorful and more beautiful would the tapestry of this church family be for one or two more children of God in our midst? May God grant us the grace this week to embrace the permission that Christ gives to Peter, the permission to not be afraid, the permission to fail. May God grant us the grace to cast out our own nets into this world, to invite others to know God's love and know God's joy and know God's mercy and know God's peace. May God grant us the grace this week to accept yet another holy invitation and do a little fishing. Amen.